Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The cost of living crisis has hit everyone hard, and the price of basic essentials has skyrocketed. In Ireland, the cost of childcare has risen to the point where it is now the third most expensive country in the EU.
Many people are stretched. Over one third of parents said they were concerned about their ability to meet their childcare costs within the next 12 months. And lack of choice is a big problem. 57% of them saying there is a limited range of affordable childcare in their area.
We're seeing a lot of services giving notice to parents of closures, in particular ECC services. So that would be the smaller services that are only open for 3 hours a day. In particular, rural Ireland has been hit massively at the moment with closures.
This, combined with a countrywide lack of placements and serious issues finding the staff to run them, has seen parents becoming desperate. Unable to quit work and unable to afford what childcare is available, many parents are turning to nannies and au pairs based simply on the recommendation of friends, without necessarily, and there is no judgment here, performing full background checks. Whilst this often comes with no issues, it also leaves the door wide open to scammers. Scammers like Carrie Jade Williams. I'm Sue Perkins.
And I'm Kat Denkinson.
And you are listening to Carrie Jade Does Not Exist, a podcast about how one woman who took on over six different identities infiltrated the lives of vulnerable people, lied her way into gaining their trust, and built up a picture-perfect persona until she got tangled up in her own web of lies. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast, you'll most likely know that in the previous six episodes, we've explored the complicated history of Carrie Jade Williams, a British woman living in Ireland who'd spent 10 years adopting multiple identities, scamming families, and evading the Gardaí. By the end of episode six, we'd uncovered every detail about Carrie Jade's life, from her traumatic past to her fake present. But one thing we didn't manage to discover at that point was her whereabouts.
Having fled her Kenmare home in 2022, just before I published my article on her for Vice World News, Carrie Jade, whose real name is Samantha Cooks, disappeared. When we tried to contact her on this podcast, her phone rang out and she made no attempt to get in touch with us. For a while, it seemed as though she might have realised her lifestyle was unsustainable and that Carrie Jade Williams might just have stopped trying to scam people. But then we received an email, the content of which is being read by our producer.
Hi, I've just come across your podcast as this woman has been in our community and is attending the same church as me. She has been exposed as a fake person yesterday. As far as we can tell, she hasn't committed any crimes, but understandably, this has shaken very many people. She has been going by the name Sadie Harris, living in Ireland, working as an au pair.
Yep, Carrie Jade was back, only under yet another pseudonym and still inveigling herself into people's lives to work with their children. Naturally, it's not taken long for this information to hit social media, and people are already posting updates and warnings about Carrie Jade's current locations. Listen, before we get into it, it's extremely important for us to say that despite her history and despite her behaviour, Carrie Jade, or Samantha Cooks, or whatever name she's currently going under, has the right to live freely wherever she chooses. The law around harassment is very clear, and as such, we will not be naming the towns where Carrie Jade has been spotted. It's equally important to note, we are not encouraging witch hunts of this woman. Naturally, of course, people have very strong feelings about Carrie Jade's actions, and I understand that. She's done great harm, but this doesn't give anyone the right to chase her down. So, with that in mind, and conscious of safeguarding, what do we know so far, Kat?
Well, as we mentioned in earlier episodes, Carrie Jade is an experienced and extremely effective liar. You know, she tells people about her invented lives as easily as we talk about the weather.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at the minute, her aim appears to be securing the acceptance of a community. So after we received this email telling us all about Sadie, we investigated and we found out that she achieved it this time by joining a local church and posing as a deeply conservative Christian woman. Now, her faith has always been quite an issue with Carrie Jade. It's always been a thing for her. But at the minute, she appears to have sort of ramped that up to 50.
It's an instant community, I guess, isn't it? If you're a churchgoer, you can appear wherever, speak about your faith, and you will be embraced by that religious community.
Absolutely. It's instant connection to other people. Yeah. And it's other people who are more likely to be friendly towards you than not.
Yes. They're well-intentioned, quite famously.
So in the course of researching this episode, I actually identified the church and we spotted her attending a service in one of their little social media videos.
This is unreal. So, as always, she creates her lies. She creates the myth to support the new identity she's adopted. And in this case, that's involved her telling people that she didn't believe women should wear trousers.
Mm-hmm.
And she then claims she'd baptised 150 sex workers in a Dublin hotel. I mean, again, it's this pattern of always pushing it, pushing people's credibility and seeing how much she can get away with, isn't it?
I actually looked this one up just to see if, you know, there's anything on baptising sex workers in Dublin. And to my total lack of surprise, all I could find were stories about baptising sex workers in Nigeria, a bit far from Dublin.
I mean, it's very, very rare, leaving people's profession out of it, that you have these big baptismal events. They tend to happen maybe, we think of them as happening in the more evangelical communities, don't we?
It's not, yeah, something that happens in suburban Dublin or suburban UK anywhere, really.
Oh, dear.
So on top of this, I also managed to make contact with a former friend of Sadie in her most recent town. And she told us the following. Because she wants to remain anonymous, an actress is reading her words.
When I first met Sadie, we bonded very fast. At first, I thought she was a bit intense, but sure, she'd just moved to our town and was looking for a friend, and honestly, she was so lovely. The background story she told me was that she was adopted from birth to a mother in England. She met her biological mum and had moved over to Ireland, although her mum lived in Cork. Really should have clocked that something was off as to why she was in our town when she moved over to have a relationship with her biological mum. But sure, you'd have no reason to think anyone would lie in this situation. She said she had been a nanny in America for years. We often joked about how Americanized she'd been. She was so incredibly generous and kind. She'd pay for lunch sometimes. When my child was sick, she got them a little present to cheer them up. She was often offering things to me she had left over after some outreach work she said she'd been doing. Looking back now, I'm remembering all those stories and feeling daft for ever believing her. And of course, I have the fear and guilt because she was obviously around my kids a lot. They knew her and were comfortable with her. Something that's hitting me now, in hindsight, is that everything had a story to it. Even her birthday, which she said was on St. Patrick's Day, she had this story about being a kid and thinking St. Patrick's Day was about her. Those kind of things. She had told me she was going to buy a local building space that had gone up for sale and had plans of running kids' classes. She said she hoped I'd be able to help her with toddler classes. But luckily, we discovered who she was before that point. Thing is, even now, knowing it was all a lie, I still genuinely miss the friendship I thought we had. I miss the person I thought she was. It's strange to try and process losing someone who never existed.
So certainly a lot of the MO here is not new. Immediately embedding herself in a community, by, you know, whatever strands she can find, whatever hooks to reel people in, this time faith, being extremely interested in their children, mm-hmm. being generous and kind, supportive. I mean, interesting, the story about running kids' classes echoes a lie that she told people back in 2017 when she lived in Cork, if I'm not mistaken.
Back then, her story was slightly different. She said she was running a children's clinic and she even had people quitting their real jobs to work for her at that point. And again, the story about her adoption story and the claim of finding her mother, that's been a key part of all her fake identities for years. So yeah, we were told about that story by Helen, who befriended Carrie Jade when she moved to Kenmare in 2020. Let's remind ourselves of what she told us.
She was in a mother and baby home in Cork, and then she was adopted by a single mother over in England, who was the first single mother basically to adopt a child on her own. She was saying that the mother and the partner had moved over to Ireland, to Smeen, which is
like half an hour away.
Well, as we've already discovered, for those of you who've listened to the first six episodes of the podcast, none of this is true, and her mum still very much lives in the UK.
She absolutely does. Also, perhaps needless to say at this point, Sadie's birthday is not on St Patrick's Day and neither is Carrie Jade's. According to my initial investigation, Samantha's birthday is actually in November. As before, she is still working as an au pair, most likely because it comes with room and board, so she's not having to pay for accommodation or, you know, deal with landlords asking for ID, references, all that kind of thing.
A very important point, that, yes. Yeah. So the guarantee of the family is enough. She can stay with them. It's all good. Mm-hmm. So we know that Sadie has no qualifications and, more importantly, a criminal record, which really should preclude her from working with kids, right?
It absolutely should. I mean, in the UK, anybody who works with children or vulnerable people, they're supposed to have a background check from the Disclosure and Barring Service. It highlights any criminal convictions and basically demonstrates to an employer that the person you've hired is the person they're claiming to be. And in Ireland, the same rules apply, but those checks are done by something called the Garda Vetting Service.
It's relentless how she's able to slip through the cracks, isn't it? How is Sadie, Carrie Jade, whatever name she wants to go under in her next iteration, how is she still able to keep working with children?
Well, the thing about background checks is the whole system only works if the person employing you actually asks for one. So businesses, private properties and stuff like that, they're regularly checked by sort of CQC and other bodies who make sure that all the staff are properly vetted. But if you're working with someone as an au pair in a private family and that family don't ask you for a background check for whatever reason, there's absolutely nothing forcing you to get one.
Listen, there's no judgment in this question, but I'm going to ask it because I'm sure it's the one that people listening are screaming. Why wouldn't a family want to know that the person caring for their kids, the most precious thing on earth, why wouldn't they want to know that they are who they claim to be and, more importantly, that they don't have a criminal record?
I think all parents want to know that, but as we said at the start, Ireland currently has the third highest childcare costs in the whole of the EU.
Yeah.
In Dublin, for example, childcare can cost up to like €1,350 a month. It's crazy, and especially when you think that the average full-time wage in Ireland is about €3,500 a month. That is a massive chunk of cash parents are trying to find just to care for their kids.
Yeah, I mean, you take the tax out of that monthly salary and pretty much half of it's going to be going, just more than half of it's going on childcare. It's crazy.
And on top of that, there is a growing shortage of good childcare places, or any childcare places, because the ones that do exist are having massive issues finding and keeping staff, mostly due to training and pay issues. So, you know, if you're a parent who can't afford childcare or you just don't have access to it where you live, because, you know, it's not there, there's no regulated provision, you're then in a potentially desperate situation. And I think parents in that situation, you know, you've got the option of either don't work anymore or don't have anyone to care for your kids, they're going to jump at the chance to take on the first au pair who comes along that seems decent, qualified, friendly and all the rest of it. And, you know, we know how good Carrie Jade is at ticking those boxes.
I just thought she was lovely. She was caring. She was compassionate.
Carrie was an amazing motivator. I mean, she was incredible. She made you feel like you could do anything.
She was so convincing and really lovely in the interview we had.
So if she's still posing as an au pair despite being unqualified, how come the Gardaí are just not showing up at her door to arrest her?
Well, this is a really bloody good question. I know from my first investigation 15 months ago that the Gardaí have a really questionable history when it comes to apprehending this woman. You know, when she first got to Ireland in 2012, the police and the court service knew that she'd arrived on a fake ID, but she wasn't detained. And then in 2019, she was arrested for crimes that she committed in 2016 and 2017. And those crimes involved taking €840 from a parent who she'd posed as an autism therapist for and stealing a combined amount of €700 from three other people. The punishment for that was a suspended sentence of 14 weeks and 2 days, however.
But what if she just never stops? I mean, this is the thing. There's always another personality. There's always another manifestation. What safeguards are there for people to prevent somebody like Carrie Jade, if not Carrie Jade herself, popping up?
It's a really good question. And I think mental health services need to step in at this point, to be honest. So you remember in previous episodes, we spoke to Dr. Christian Hart.
Yeah.
About compulsive lying. Well, this is what he said.
What we have seen in our research is that pathological lying tends to begin for most people in their childhood, usually in their teenage years, and it does persist. And people do try to change, though, but they, you know, like most habitual behaviors, you know, change doesn't come easy. But I get emails and phone calls almost every week from people who say, hey, I've got this problem. I've been a pathological liar my whole life, and now I want help. I want to change. I think it's typically they've hit some sort of wall in their life. They've had their, you know, fourth marriage fail. They've been fired from their job for the 10th time, and it finally dawns on them they need to make some substantial change.
From what we've seen so far, Sadie has clearly not reached that stage. And many of the people we've spoken to, you know, whether they were happy with her or angry, have real concerns about her mental health. And it's important to say that we can't confirm a diagnosis for this woman. You know, we're not diagnosticians and we don't know her. But speaking in her own defence, when she was first convicted of fraud as Samantha Cooks, she cited her own poor mental health as the reason for her behaviour.
I truly am sorry. Now I am in intensive therapy. I can see that I never dealt with my grief after my daughter's sudden death. And I am sorry this caused me to hurt other people. I hope to resolve my mental illness. This will never erase my mistake, though. Never again will I get myself into trouble. I never want to hurt anyone else again.
The fact that Sadie has been uncovered and gone, presumably to another small town in Ireland to start all over again, it's becoming increasingly urgent, I think, to find help. And, you know, I'm very much listening to what you're saying about childcare. Of course, people will be finding the similar issues, getting mental health services, accessing those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the victims, though, in this case. What can people coming into contact with somebody who they think is fraudulent, or indeed Sadie herself, what can they do about that?
Well, as we said at the start, and I'll say again now, this is not a witch hunt, and we really do not want people going out vigilante style to find Carrie Jade or Sadie or whoever she's currently claiming to be. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to be tracking down this woman or confronting her. However, if she does come into contact with you, or indeed if you're taking anyone on to work with your children, you know, particularly anybody new to your area, there are things you can do to protect yourself. So, if she comes to work for you, ask for references. If you're in Ireland, ask for the Garda vetting check, or the UK, ask for a DBS check. Take stories, like one of her recent stories, such as, I can't talk about my previous employers because I was in LA and it was under an NDA.
Oh, dear. Which one was that one?
That's the most recent one.
So that's Sadie.
Sadie, yeah. She told her current, she was working as an au pair and told them that she couldn't talk about her previous employers because it was in Los Angeles under an NDA. That's a non-disclosure agreement.
Yes.
People are not familiar.
Yes. Well, okay. So your advice would be, if somebody says they can't disclose their past because of a non-disclosure agreement, then just don't risk it.
Seriously. Take it with a mahoose of pinch of salt. Yeah. You know, everybody has something they can disclose about their work history.
Yes, exactly. And that's sort of slightly grandiose and mysterious kind of answer is sort of peak. It's peak Carrie Jade, is it not?
It really is.
And I'm aware, by the way, this podcast, we can sometimes refer to as Samantha or Carrie Jade or Sadie to, you know, I mean, they're all interchangeable, of course, in a way. In terms of her mental health, though, we obviously talked about people safeguarding themselves against fraudulent behaviour. But in terms of Carrie Jade's mental health, it's very hard to get somebody into help, A, if that help is not very present, and also if they're not recognising they have a problem.
It is. There's a threshold for people being involuntarily taken into treatment, and it is incredibly high. It needs to show a clear likelihood of them causing immediate harm to themselves or immediate harm to somebody else. With Carrie Jade, Sadie, so far, she's shown none of those kinds of behaviours. There are, however, a number of things you can do to help those around you suffering with poor mental health. The Irish Health Service website recommends various steps that people can take.
What if I'm worried about someone close to me, but they're unwilling to consider getting help? It's usually better that that person goes for help themselves. In the short term, this can be hard to tolerate. But acknowledging that help is necessary and going voluntarily for help is an important part of the process of recovery. This does not mean that you should not continue to communicate your concerns and keep an open dialogue. In this situation, if you're very close to the person or are living with them, it's important to ensure that you don't neglect yourself and that you mind your own mental health and continue to make use of your own network of support and activities.
Both of us have looked at this website and essentially it recommends that you just try and talk directly with the person about your observations and concerns. And that's the first positive step. Just very calmly and clearly express concern.
Absolutely. It's not about confrontation. It's a thing to remember. Yeah. You're not going to achieve anything by screaming at somebody. You're not going to achieve anything by going, ha ha, I proved you out. You're a liar.
And certainly in the case of Carrie Jade, she'll just bolt and go to another town. It's also important to listen carefully to responses. So obviously, if you feel that you've been the victim of fraudulent behaviour, it's understandable you'll become incredibly angry. But try and listen carefully to the responses without being judgmental or indeed intervening to offer solutions, which is important.
Mm. Yeah, she's clearly not in any position to, I think, accept who she is at this point, accept what she's doing. And I very much doubt she's going to be in a position to take a solution from you.
Mm.
But if you can talk, if you can get her talking at all, that's better than nothing.
If that happens, then try and make your decision about how serious you think the problem is and then whether you need to take that further in the search to get help. And it is obviously always better that the person goes for help themselves. And that's hard to tolerate at first, but acknowledging that help is necessary is a very important first step. And I can't necessarily say that I think Carrie Jade / Sadie / Samantha is ready to take that step, but it's very, very important, we feel, at this stage of the podcast, that we just make you aware.
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's obvious that she's not in a place where she can get help for herself or that she can put herself in a position to stop. So it's important that you put yourself in a position of decreased vulnerability.
Yeah.
Make yourself less susceptible to any scam she might be trying to run.
And, you know, I've been the victim of fraudulent behaviour myself. And the only redress for that, because, frankly, the instruments to rectify that are quite weak in terms of government support and local support. So the only thing you can do really is to educate yourself, as I had to, and arm yourself for future experiences, which is essentially your job, is it not, Kat?
So, yeah, there are other things you can do that are very similar to what I do when I start an investigation. So if you start out chatting to your au pair online, ask them for a picture or a Zoom meeting. You know, you want to get to see who they are before you meet them in person. If they send you a picture or you take a screenshot from the Zoom meeting, use Google Lens or some kind of similar app to do a reverse image search and see what comes up. If they refuse to let you see them at all, that's likely to be a bit of a red flag. You know, you need to know, why aren't you letting me see you?
Yes, I mean, it's always very, very important, I think, before you let anybody into your home or engage with them, even, you know, you want to do a pre-interview, I think, online, do you not? And then just do a little bit of background checking yourself before the doorbell goes and they're in your home.
Absolutely. You know, it's much easier to stop a situation before it starts than to have somebody in your home and then be like, oh God, now what?
So what if you're given an email address, for example? So they go, okay, I'm super interested in this job. Here's my email address.
You can Google an email address. If you Google the email address and it rocks up on a number of other au pair sites, or it leads you to a different social media page for them, great. You can dig a little deeper and make sure your person is who they're saying they are. Fantastic, you know. Maybe there are other reviews from other customers. There's all sorts of stuff that an email address can lead you to.
Mm.
If, again, nothing comes up, that's not necessarily as big a red flag as the picture, so don't worry too much. Obviously, in combination with the other steps, it matters.
Yeah. You presumably want to get references, don't you? It's not just enough to go, yeah, I work for Jane Smith in Los Angeles. You know, you need to find out who Jane was, maybe speak to Jane, maybe engage with the Jane, you know.
You need details that are checkable. It's not good enough to have a name or even just a random picture. You need to know where she is, who she is. Don't just get email addresses either, because we know from the past, Carrie Jade has had fake email addresses that relate back to herself. So if you can, if you should, get a phone number for the references. Get something you can ring and physically check.
Now, obviously, most people's lives are played out on social media. Presumably, that's also going to... I mean, I'm not encouraging, by the way, people to sort of do a deep dive to the point it becomes slightly obsessive and weird. But, you know, if somebody has posted something on a public forum, it's fair game for you to have a look at it and just sort of gauge what sort of person they are outside of work and in work.
I'm not saying go out and do what I do. Don't spend days deep diving people. That's slightly worrying.
And I've told you to stop doing it to me, Kat.
I'm sorry. You're just too interesting. What can I say?
I wish. You
have lots of dog pictures.
Well, so
I like
many.
Dogs.
So many.
So, yeah, if you're getting an au pair, if you're hiring an au pair, ask for links to their social media profiles or go and look for them yourself. You know, find them on Facebook, find them on Twitter, Instagram and so forth. Have a look at what's on there. Just that, you know, just a quick glance to prove to yourself that this is a real person living a real life. If there are no searchable profiles or you find one that's set up like yesterday, Go back to step one, do reverse image search on the pictures. The aim is to prove to yourself that this person is who they're telling you they are. If you find out they're lying about their identity, then you don't even have to confront them. Just simply say, you know, you've decided to hire somebody else. And you can report them to the au pair website or the police if you feel that necessary.
The problem is, as humans, I don't know about you, but I feel we're programmed not to rock the boats. You know, we're psychologically predisposed to just getting along, trying to, you know, go along with the flow, get along with everybody. And so there's lots of people out there who might be like me and sort of want to shy away from confrontation. But it is perfectly reasonable to question the validity of the person you're letting into your home. I'm not lucky enough to be a parent, but doubly so when you're letting them have access to your kids. And however nice someone seems, anyone genuinely seeking a job surely expects to be checked out.
Absolutely.
You know, you and I go to work and we are checked out, you know. Essentially, people with nothing to hide are pretty happy to be forthcoming about their work history. So please don't be afraid to ask questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think at this point we want to speak directly to Sadie now. So I've got no idea if she's listening or if she's in a place to make space for what we're saying, but I still think it's really important to say it. So in the course of my recent investigation, I've actually obtained a new current phone number for her, and I would like to try and call her again. She still deserves a right to reply, mm-hmm. and I really want to speak directly to her. You know, I want to try and understand what is going on for her at the moment, because she's been chased from one town, she's hovering in wherever she is now. That's not a good place to be in. I want to see how she's doing.
I mean, this is potentially another pressure point moment for her because she has been found out, she's moved, we don't know where to, but she's in flight, in transit, and presumably in a cocoon state waiting for another identity to emerge if one hasn't already emerged. So this is a key moment to be phoning her. This is something you do all the time. I always get really scared when we come to this bit, only because I want her to be okay, but I also want her to stop. And those are the two things that have informed this podcast from the very beginning. Are you okay? Can you stop? And so let's see if we can ask those things.
Let's try.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is no longer in service.
Well, there you go. Isn't that just the way of it? So listen, when did you first get that number?
About 5 days ago.
So that's the speed at which she's changing. So do we think at this point she's just using burner phones, picking them up, dropping them?
She must be. I'm guessing that she changes numbers every time she leaves a town. I mean, this is assuming nobody else has tried to ring her on this, because obviously the person I got this number from won't be the only person that had it. And I've seen online there's a lot of social media and wondering where she is, who she is, people trying to track her down. So it's possible that somebody else has had a go, or even just that she's freaked out and changed it for that reason.
This is the thing. This is the complexity of this story. It's a woman who makes people care about her, who offers a service that is invaluable. And those bonds are hard to break, even when people know that they've been played, even when her identity's revealed. They still have those tendrils of feeling, you know, and that's what makes it such a complicated and painful story. The fact that the number is inaccessible after just a few days, it's just not a way for a person to be living. You know, it is unsustainable. It's dangerous. And above all of that, actually, it must be incredibly lonely. It's not a real life game of Guess Who. It's somebody's life. This is Samantha's life. And it's also the lives of the people that Samantha has harmed. And they deserve to feel safe and to be able to trust their friends. And Samantha has a right to live without being chased from town to town. And the more the phones get changed, the more identities there are, the more pressure there's going to be. And there's going to, the intervals between moving are going to become shorter and shorter, I think.
Yep. I mean, I don't even know money-wise how she's faring at the minute, because there was a newspaper article in the last week, when was it? March 3rd. There was a newspaper article in the Irish press about how her landlord was found to be in the right for, well, partially in the right for evicting her, and that she owed him X amount of X back rent.
Right.
Which he's accepted in the paper that he's never going to get back, because obviously where's she getting this money from? She's pushing it to the limit at the moment. People are catching up. The state will eventually catch up. The housing board is already on to her because of the issues with her landlord. She's going to find herself in a position where she has no way of living, or has no way of finding a home and making a living. And that's really concerning for me, because I'm not sure what happens at that point.
How much, we've talked at the beginning, obviously, about her latest iteration being very, very faith-based, and how faith is always sort of interwoven between her previous personalities. But it's very hard line now, very hard line.
Mm.
How much of that do you think is a posture, and how much of that is actually really creeping into her psyche?
It's difficult. I mean, the way I see it, I think she's looking for salvation. I think she wants to be rescued.
Mm.
I don't think she can accept her own take responsibility for her own part in her trouble. She's incapable, I think, from what I've seen, of acknowledging that she's caused any of her own issues. And from that, in that respect, I think the closer she gets to her God, the closer she gets to being saved. You know, if Jesus is all right with me, I'm all right with me. And I think it feels like there's an element of that. I mean, there's obviously a lot of posturing with the, I baptised 100 sex workers in a Dublin hotel, and it's wanting people to see you as something you're not. But that's links to everything she tells people. Everything she tells people is to have them go, wow, really?
It's interesting for me, that dynamic. It's about wanting to be saved by a higher being, but also portraying herself as a higher being in communities. Mm. So it completely flips. She's the one that everybody wants in a small community, where she can suddenly provide childcare or autistic support, or, you know, surrogacy or whatever it might be, or is a preacher and faith healer. But yes, it's a really, really interesting dynamic, that both the provider of salvation and in desperate need of it from above.
If the Gardaí don't believe she's committed any crimes, they can't step in and stop her. And likewise, you know, we're not going to be in a position, we never want to be in a position, in fact, where anyone's being prosecuted for crimes they might commit.
Yes. It's not Minority Report.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to be very clear about that.
Yeah.
You know, she has a behavioural pattern, and we can guess that she's probably going to do it again and again until she stops. But equally, it's very important that we don't say, be on your guard, she's coming for you. We don't want to create stress and drama where there isn't.
No, that's absolutely unnecessary. We don't need that. I think at the minute, the best people can do is just making themselves aware of the situation. You know, obviously, it's easier said than done. You want to be friendly, especially to the new girl in town, especially to the new amazing Christian girl in town who's just joined your church. And she's amazing, but she's all by herself and she's not feeling so well. Although, interestingly, when I spoke to her newest best friend, she is no longer claiming to have Huntington's disease. That's been dropped.
So she's no longer gaining sympathy through illness. In fact, she's much more empowered by faith and is coming in actually as quite a sort of strong alpha kind of character, which will also get you a lot of attention.
Absolutely. It's making her a lot of friends. But, you know, it is possible to be friendly to somebody, to welcome them into your community, and to still keep those boundaries, to keep yourself safe. No is perfectly reasonable. Not trusting someone the minute you meet them is totally fine. It does not make you a terrible person. You are allowed to be suspicious of people you don't know, especially when they're telling you incredibly tall stories.
I just want to take just a brief break to talk about human capital here, because this is somebody who is smart, who can bond with people, who can make friends, who's fun, who's, we've heard lots of very positive things said about her. All that brilliance twisted by what we suspect might be mental health issues and deep trauma of the past. And it's such a waste. And if only we had systems in place, proper mental health facilities, you know, this might be a very different situation. I find it devastating for all concerned, you know?
No, it absolutely is. I mean, if she's unwell enough to the point that her baby was deemed not safe in her custody, if she's unwell enough that she ran from one country to another on a fake ID, how was she just allowed to go with no backup, no help, no plan in place, no care plans, no anything? Because, where was the duty of care at that point?
Yeah, we talk a lot about the gaps in policing and the gaps in kind of monitoring her and holding her to account. There should have been, you know, the arms of the state at some point along this journey.
She's stuck in this bizarre cycle at the minute. I think, like you rightly said, she is both the god and the seeker of the salvation.
Yeah.
She is both completely in control of what she's doing and spiralling into this terrifying position of absolute nonsense at times. I mean, I think she told one of her new friends she was going to buy the local car park and convert it.
Yeah. There's always one, isn't there? There's an embedding, there's a very good early settling in period where everyone really loves her, and then she'll just go too far with a lie. And as you say, the car park was the bridge too far in this particular scenario. This episode really has been to update people as to her latest iteration and to tell that story. But also, and it's always there's so many tendrils to this, it's also to say we're not actively trying to hunt her down. We're just trying to arm you, the listener, against not only somebody like her or her specifically coming to your town, but anybody who pretends to be something they aren't.
It's so easy online at the minute. You can literally be anybody you want within 5 minutes. You can set up a fake profile anywhere and start an identity of your own and a story to go with it. And it's so important to arm yourself against that. Because on a big scale, yes, you've got political interference, but on a smaller scale, on a more effective scale, in fact, you've got people like Carrie Jades, Samantha Cooks or whatever, people who will have real world effect on real people's lives. And it's so important to be aware of that and so important to be able to stand up to that, if you like.
Well, so hopefully we've armed people to go and get the information they need, to work with good, solid people in their homes to look after their kids. Hopefully also we've sent a message of support to Carrie Jade, saying we are here wherever and whenever you wish to speak to us, but also to those listening who want to play detective. And let's face it, the human need is strong to find the truth. Go carefully. This is not a witch hunt. We're not trying to push somebody who is in trouble into even more trouble. As always, we hope that Samantha, Sadie, Carrie Jade, all of her iterations will come to the realisation that something different, something better is possible. And for everybody else, put yourself in a safer position and take care. Carrie Jade Does Not Exist is an Audio Always original production hosted by me, Sue Perkins, and her,
Catherine Denkinson.
Catherine Denkinson reported the original story and also wrote the series. This episode was produced by Joe Meek, and the exec producer is Ailsa Rochester. Craig Edmondson is our sound designer.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.